You are welcome again to our messages on the house churches. This is actually our fourth message on the house churches. In our last message on the house church, we actually saw that the house churches are places where people are effectively discipled to spiritual maturity. In other words, people are built to become mature so that the Lord Jesus Christ can effectively use them. We saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the crowd, he selected some people to be with him so that he may be able to send them out to preach and to cast out demons. We saw that they needed to be with him to be transformed into his likeness so that they become his ambassadors and he can actually send them out to represent him. In other words, he desired to send people out who have put on his likeness. And that is actually who a mature believer is. A mature believer is a believer who has put on the likeness of the Lord, the resemblance of the Lord. So that such believers sent out by the Lord, their lives will not contradict their messages. In other words, as they will be speaking, people will be looking at their lives and comparing what they are saying with the type of life they are living, they'll be able to say their doctrine and their lives are the same thing. We equally saw Paul telling his young disciple Timothy. He told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, God needs to put his stamp of approval on you so that you will not need to be ashamed. You will be able to give out the word of truth, but equally, your life represents that word of truth. We saw Paul equally telling Timothy that the scripture is given and useful for teachings, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because last week, we're actually looking at the means for this making of disciples, because we saw the Lord Jesus Christ saying, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. They were to be taught to obey all that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded. And we saw that one of the main instruments in the making of disciples is the word of God. The person is first of all taught the word of God. If he obeys, he set out to obey the word that he has been taught, then the word will become part of his life. Somebody looking at his life and reading the word, he will be able to say that the word of God and his life are the same. So, teachings in order to produce, equip this man of God who has become thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, it is a goal-directed teaching to produce people who are actually thoroughly trained. And that's who a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Somebody who has been thoroughly trained, thoroughly imparted by the word. He hears, he obeys, and then he is transformed. And what people see outside is this transformed life. So the goal of the house church, as we saw, was to produce these mature believers that God can actually send in order to go and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can hand over critical things in the hand of a baby. It is in the hands of mature people that God wants to hand over his interests. So effective discipleship We produce people who are well equipped for every good work. People who are well equipped. And it is not being well equipped with knowledge. It is well equipped not only with knowledge, but knowledge applied that has become life. Because it is our lives that are actually our first message. When somebody listens to your message, he compares your message with your life. Effective discipleship also aims at presenting everyone perfect in Christ. Presenting everyone perfect in Christ. That's part of what effective discipleship aims at doing. Open with us to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Paul said he is the one, from verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Another version says, we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That's what my discipleship is all aimed at, to ensure that everyone who comes to the Lord is presented to the Lord perfect in Christ. And that's what we're trying to drive out last week, concerning the messages on effective discipleship in the house churches, aim at presenting everyone perfect in Christ. It is these mature people that God is looking for in order that he may release them to begin to serve him. So in our message today, we are looking at the house churches and ministry in the house churches and ministry from the house churches. What is the goal of building people to become competent ministers? What is the goal of building people to maturity? What is the goal of this perfection? It is in order that the man of God, the children of God, may become effective weapon in his hand. It is goal-directed building to have workers, to have ministers, to have servants who can effectively represent the Lord. So it is building people who effectively represent the Lord, building people who can go for the Lord, building people who, when they speak for God, somebody looked at their lives and listened to their message, someone will be able to say, this is not a hypocrite. He is practicing what he is preaching. So, discipleship to produce mature workers, competent workers for the Lord. And today we are seeing now that if you have been discipled, the house church that disciple people, that builds people, builds them to produce workers. That's why we're looking at ministry in the house churches and ministry from the house churches. So we are going to look at an example of a small group of people in the Bible, which I strongly believe also started as a house church, and how God effectively used them in order to begin to conquer regions. We'll look at, let's open our Bible to 1 Thessalonians, Thessalonians chapter 1. How did God use these people? In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll start straight away from verse 1. We mentioned something in verse 1. It says, Silas, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are looking at three people here. Then we go straight to verse 4. It says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not only with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul was saying, the three of us, I, Silas and Timothy, you know the type of life we lived among you for your sake. And that is the greatest message anyone can ever have. You know the life I have lived. You know my life. You know my life. He said, you know the type of life we lived among you for your sake. In other words, Paul was saying, we were the right example for you. We were the right message. We were the right gospel. Then you know how we live among you for yourself. Verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. So Paul said, the first thing is, you know the type of life we lived among you people. Our life was different. It was such a life, he said, then you became imitators. Nobody will want to imitate that which is bad. Nobody will want to imitate the wrong example. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy went to this place, and they had a message. And that message was a transformed life. Their life had been transformed, and they began to live out the life of Christ for the sake of these believers. And Paul said, you people became our imitators. They love that type of life. They admire that type of life. And then they decided that they were going to imitate these three people who had come with a message and who had come with a certain type of life that they admired. So they began to imitate them. That's what in the making of disciples is all about. A life that can be imitated. A life that can be an example. And Paul said, when you started imitating us, then verse 7, so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul and his two disciples went to these people. They started living the right Christian life. And then the Thessalonian brethren started imitating them. Then by their imitating them, their lives also were transformed and they became a model. So we can start with just three people in a home somewhere who are living the right lives, and that other people see them and begin to copy. So people come to this house church, and then they are type, these few people are there, and then they are living the right Christian life, and other people begin to imitate them, begin to copy them. And those people, as they imitate, they equally become models that can be copied. And Paul said, as a result of that, the message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith has become known everywhere. Paul and his friend imitated. Those who imitated them became a model. And as a result of that, only by their lives, the word of God spread all over. It was the word that has penetrated their life and was being seen outward, so that they did not even need to preach again. The power of a transformed life. The power of three people whose lives have become transformed, meeting in a home, and other people coming to see them and witnessing their life, and then deciding to copy that same life. And after a time, in a whole town, people will look at your life. In other words, there is a message we can pass across, and that message is, what is your life? In the house churches, we produce people who, in the environment where they are, in the region where they are, in the town where they are, they have a settled type of life that other people can imitate. That's the making of disciples. That's what we do in the house churches. In other words, we produce people who can minister by their lives. And to produce people who can minister by their life, you equally yourself must have a life that can minister to others. You must have a life that can become an example for others to copy. That is why within the house churches, we have set out to produce competent ministers of the gospel, not only people who know the word, but people who are practicing the word. People who haven't read the word have begun to obey the word. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. When people begin to obey all that Jesus Christ has commanded, they will begin to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they begin to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ, other people who look at them and begin to copy them will equally resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will start with very few people, and after a time, you can have a company of thousands of people who are living the life that resemble that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first ministry, and that is produced from the house churches, ministry by our lives, so that in our neighborhood, so that in our town, wherever we are, our lives are models, our lives are examples. Paul said, "You have faith in Christ has become known everywhere." Not just what you are talking about, but the life you are living. People are talking about the type of life you are living. The type of life you are living. It was actually when Barnabas and Paul, they had spent 1 year in the town in Antioch teaching the believers for one year, that the Bible said the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch. It was a name that was given by unbelievers. It was not a religious name. It was a name that people looked at this new group, this group of people, and they said, these people resemble that man called Christ Jesus. They are like Christ. The gospel we preach and the people we are building, the word we are giving out, must be in a position. We must bring people to this position that their life have become transformed, so that people watching at them will be able to say, what we read in the Bible is what we see in their life. That is the first ministry the house churches are supposed to offer. Producing lives. Paul said, you imitated us. And because you imitated us, you became a model to people in Macedonia, a whole province, in Achaia. And then he said, as a result of that, your faith has become known all over. And Paul said, therefore, we don't need to say anything about it. Paul, they did not need to preach because people knew the impact the life of Paul, the life of Silas, the life of Timothy had left upon the life of the brethren in Thessalonians. And it was other people who started testifying. For many of us, we want to talk about our lives. It should be other people talking about what they are seeing in us. Nobody should even meet us and begin to ask whether you are a Christian or not. People, by just meeting you and staying 5 minutes with you, 10 minutes with you, should be able to say you are a Christian. And then you ask them why. They will be able to tell you, because of your behavior. I have seen your behavior. Your behavior is like what I read in the Bible. You are not selfish. You are not false. You are a person of integrity. You are not rude. You are not arrogant. You are kind, you are gentle, you are tender. Let people look at us and be able to say, we are what they have been reading. And they will be able to say, they have finally found representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this family church, this house church, this small group of believers in a home somewhere transformed through the teaching they are receiving and then obeying that teaching. That is what they can begin to do. They can become, they have become weapons, they have become images that represent the Lord. Paul said, they themselves, they tell how you turn to God from idol to serve the living and the true God. People should be able to say, we know who you were. We know you have turned from sin, and now this is the type of life you are living. We know you are such a drunkard. We know it. You don't even need to tell us anything. Don't people know you? All over, if you have been staying in a place for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, people know the testimony that you have. And if your life is changed, they also know. So the making of disciples from the house churches will provide for us this servant of God who are not ministers by their words, but who are ministers by their life. That is the weapon for world conquest. That's the weapon for city conquest. If you want to take a city, start with three people whose lives are changed. Go to 5 people. Go to 100 people. Go to 1,000 people. But let the testimony of those 1,000 people, what people are able to say about them is that these are different people. They are Christians. They are people who represent the Lord. So the house churches provide for us ministers by their lives. Ministers by their lives. So, people who just saw the right life, listened to the right message, began to obey the right message, and as a result of that, as they began to imitate, they themselves become the right model. When effective discipleship takes place in the house churches, lives of the brethren, lives of the members will become the right message for the world, for their environment. We don't change people with our words. We don't change people with our mouth. The world is tired of hearing. They want to see. People want to see this Christ. We should not just be talking about the Christ who lived, and that Christ who was so kind, that Christ was so merciful, that Christ was so true. We should be talking about people who haven't listened to that Christ and followed him, have become a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ by their lives. So from the house churches, ministers by life are produced, and they can change their environment. They can change their neighborhoods, and they don't change their neighborhoods by their words. They change by the type of set the life of Christ that people are seeing. From the house churches, ministers that are sent out are equally produced. So we're seeing, looking at the house churches as places where effective ministry being carried out and minister being released to go and carry out ministry. Ministry within the house churches and ministry from the house churches. Ministry within, touching the life of those who are there, and ministry from those who originate from those house churches to touch the lives of others outside. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. So, from the house churches, ministers are sent out. Those who are from within, they are sent out to go and touch other lives. Mark chapter 3, from verse 13. We had looked at these few verses before. Jesus, from verse 13, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So from a crowd, Jesus selected a number of them, few of them, 12. He said, one, to be with him, then he will send them out. To be with him, to become transformed like him. to be with him, to see the type of life he was living, to be with him in order that they may imitate him, so that when he sent them out, the people who have put on his likeness and received his message may become true ambassadors, speaking the words that are backed by lies. So they were to be with him, and then they were to be sent out. The purpose for which we spend time with God, this time spent with God, this time meditating on the word of God, this time reading the word of God, this time in fasting, this time in being built, what is the purpose? So that we may put on Christ, and having put on Christ, we may be sent out. We put him on. Of what use is it? Just reading the word, reading the word, reading the word, meditating on the word. Who is benefiting because of this encounter you are having with God? The one reason the Lord left us here is that we may be his representative. If not, after our salvation, he would have taken us straight away to heaven. But he leaves us out here. He's transforming us so that he can then send us out. So they were to be changed and sent out to preach, to speak out the word, to show forth the word by their life. But it was not all. They were equal to have authority to drive out demons. To have authority without a changed life, somebody may only use that authority in a wicked way. So they were to be with him, so that they can be able to know, now that you will be given power, will you use that power to destroy life, or you will use that power to build others? So there must be the release. The people we build within the house churches are now being released to their immediate neighborhood, being released to preach in the town, being released to go far, being released to take the glad tidings to those who have never heard the word. It is not meeting just for meeting's sake in a house, in a home. It is not a house church just fellowshipping, encouraging yourself. It is encouragement with a purpose. It is growth with a purpose. It's transformation with a purpose. Because God has a bigger picture. Not just that, just few of you who are there. God wants to change many other people in different places. So we send out ministers from the house churches. Ministers, people whose lives have been changed, they equally go out with the word. Any group of people, wherever they are, receiving the word, calling themselves believers, calling themselves a church of God, if they don't set out to build others, to conquer others, it's a matter of time they will be conquered. It is either we conquer or we will be conquered. If we are not winning others and transforming them, the world will soon sweep us away. From the house churches, or within the house churches, the members equally render ministry to God. So we are looking at ministry within the house churches and ministry from the house churches. As we meet, we render ministry to God. As the believers are built in order to render ministry to God, in order to worship God, in order to praise God, in order to testify of the great thing that the Lord is doing for them. So, ministry to God. In Psalm 50, verse 23, let's open our Bible. We are saying the members of the house church, within the house churches, there is ministry going on to God, rising up to God. We live to minister to the Lord. We live to worship him. We live to praise him. We live to testify of the good thing he is doing for us. Psalms 50, verse 23. He said, those who offer sacrifice Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. And to the blameless, I will show my salvation. Another version says, and the offer that thanksgiving, that thanks offering, and prepare the way for me to show them my salvation. So we offer thanks offering to God. We offer our gratitude to God. We offer our worship to God. We offer our praise to God in songs. We offer praise to God in our word. We offer praise to God in our testimony. We offer praise to God by our giving. We render ministry to God. So the house churches are places for rendering ministry equally to God. And as you render ministry to God, offering thanks offering, you prepare the way for God to show you his salvation. God will not abandon this person who worships him day and night. In difficult moments, he will equally step in to rescue you. In the house churches, we minister to one another. In the house churches, we render ministry to God. In the house churches, we produce ministers who by their life will be able to proclaim the gospel. In the house churches, from the house churches, we send out ministers who will take the word of God, who will go out to preach, who will go out to cast out demons, who will go out to heal the sick, who will go out to break the powers of the enemy. From the house churches, we equally, or in the, within the house churches, we have people who are rendering ministry to God, but in the house churches, we also render ministry to one another. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. So the house churches, a place to render ministry to one another. Paul said, what then shall we say, brethren? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And as we said, the church is not that building. It's not even that house. The church is these people with whom you are meeting, the body of Christ. He said, somebody has a hymn. Somebody has a psalm. Somebody has a spiritual song. Somebody has a word of encouragement. Someone has a testimony. Everything done in order that these people, this body of Christ, build up. So the house churches, we build one another through the word of testimony, through that psalms, through that hymn, through that word of instruction, through that testimony. So the house church, a place to build one another. We encourage one another through testimonies. Somebody may be going through a trial, through a difficult time, and you have gone through the same thing before, or you may even be going through the same, and God stepped in and rescued you. And then by opening your mouth and just testifying what has happened, that is an encouragement to others. That's why don't keep those things that the thing that God is doing in your life, the breakthrough that God is giving to you, share it within the house church so that someone may be encouraged. Within the house churches, we pray for one another. That's part of the ministry we receive from one another. Somebody is sick, he is prayed for. Somebody is going through a trial, he is prayed for. Somebody is traveling, he is prayed for. Somebody is discouraged, he is prayed for. Somebody is seeking for the will of God for one area of his life or the other, he is prayed for. So within the house churches, we pray for one another. And within the house churches, James said, we confess our sin to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. We render ministry to one another from the house churches by visiting every member In the early church, they were together every day. Just imagine a group of people who meet with one another every day. Every day, there will be none of them who will ever be going through any trial, and nobody will know about it. If somebody is sick somewhere in his home, somebody will immediately know and render the appropriate ministry. Somebody is going through some difficulties, somebody will immediately know. In the house churches, such a smaller group of believers should make every effort to meet one another every day. That's what the family is. The family members, they meet with one another every day. Within the house churches, we render practical ministry to one another by simply ensuring that the needs, the physical needs of one another are met. That's part of the ministry we render to one another, meeting the practical need of the believers. Today you may be in abundance, let your abundance bless the others. Tomorrow you may be in scarcity, your scarcity will not put you down, because the abundance of another person will equally be a blessing to you. Let's open our Bible to the book of Titus, chapter 3. The book of Titus, chapter 3. We'll just look at verse 13 and 14. Paul said, do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Listen to verse 14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive life. Do everything to provide for the need of others. He said, if you do that, you will not live an unproductive life. They were talking about ministers here. He said, some of the brethren in their midst said, do everything to send them on their way. Meet their needs. So within the house churches, we meet the needs of one another. We don't just say, verbal love. We show love by our life, the practical lives, practical examples. The house church is equally a place where we train the believers to stand with the ministers of the gospel that have either been sent or that they are involved in global aspect of God's mission. We train the believers and actually help the believers so that they are not just caught up with that tiny home where they are, tiny locality where they are. They become involved by supporting the men of God, the servant of God, who are carrying out bigger ministry in other places. Let's look at the Bible, Philippians chapter 4. Let's open our Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 4. From verse 14. Listen to what Paul said. He said, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul said it was good that you shared with me in my hardship. in what I was going through. Remember how this house church started in the house of Lydia. Few of them. Now, he said, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, you were the only one who stood with me in the matter of giving and receiving. I gave you the word, you stood with me in a practical way. And then he said, you sent me aid again and again. And Paul said, I am amply supplied. I have more than I need. And Paul said, it's not because I want things. It's because I want it to be credited in your account. So within the house churches, we train our people to stand with the ministers of the gospel. As they launch out to preach the gospel, they pay the price to stand with them by equally meeting their need. And Paul said, if you do that, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches by glory in Christ Jesus. As you are meeting the need of the minister of the gospel somewhere, God set out to enrich you and equally meet your own needs. So we train the people, encourage them to stand with the ministers of the gospel to ensure that as the ministers of the gospel, they launch out to preach, they equally sacrifice, they equally stand with them materially so that those who are at the forefront preaching the gospel can be able to say with Paul, I am amply supplied. I need nothing. And as a result of that, it will be credited to your account. Within the house churches, we equally get the brethren to begin to build and teach one another. Just like in a normal family, the elderly ones, they will begin to build and teach the younger ones. That's what Paul said to Timothy. The things you have heard of me, you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrusted to reliable people. I built you, I spoke to you, I taught you, set out to teach others. What the people are being taught, as more and more people, younger ones are coming in, younger believers are coming in, the mature believers should set out and not just leave one leader somewhere to be the one. You have been discipled, disciple others. You have been built, build others. You have been taught, teach others. You have been cared for, care for others. You were being visited. Somebody visited you frequently, coming to your house. Go and do the same. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. What have been invested into your life, set out and invest it equally into the lives of others. As people are coming in, the mature one should take the responsibilities and begin to build them just as they have been built. The house church should have a very clear goal. In other words, we are not building people just in the air. We are building people for a purpose. It must be very clear that what is being done to you, you should do it to others. It must be very clear that you are being built not just to become strong in Christ, you are being built to become strong in Christ in order that you use that strength in order to build the kingdom of God, in order to rescue the perishing, in order to build others. The building of people and the helping of people to spiritual maturity should become the concern of everyone in the house church. Whatever has been done to you, ensure that someone somewhere also receives it. You have been preached to, you have believed, make sure that you preach to another person for that person equally to believe. You have been taught to meet God daily, teach another person. You have been taught to give to God, teach another person equally to give to God. You have been taught to pray, teach another person to pray. You have been taught to fast, teach another person to fast. You have been taught and sometimes you were helped to come for meeting. Don't just go for meetings alone. Go along with others. Go and reach out to others and ensure that you are not a barren believer. The house church is a place to produce ministers. We receive ministry, but we equally go out to give out ministry. No one in the house church should be idle. If people are built up, they are knowledgeable, they are strong, and then they have been imparted, their lives have been changed, and then they equally don't set out to do the same to others, after a time they will lose what they have gained. Every idle person, the devil will give you work to begin to do for him, and that work is actually sin. The devil finds work for those who are idle. From the youngest believer to the most mature believer, everybody in the house church should have a responsibility he is carrying out. There should be nobody who is passive. There should be nobody who is a spectator. There should be nobody in the house church who does not have something he is doing. The members of the house church should be helped to discover what God created them to accomplish for God here on earth, and to discover the ability that God has given to them and begin to use that ability to accomplish the purpose for which they were created. They should be helped to become involved in practical things, to become involved in visiting others, to become involved in preaching the word, to become involved in pastoring others, to become involved even in the practical thing of just cleaning around, the practical thing of just arranging the chairs. It should not just be the responsibility of few. Everybody should become responsible, because one of the quickest means, one of the quickest weapons by which we grow up is being responsible. Every responsible person will know rapid growth, but passive people will remain babies all their life. So we help to build others. If we have been built into effective disciples, mature disciples, capable minister of the new covenant, whatever little has been done to you, set out and begin to do it. As you begin to do it, you are strengthening your own relationship with God. You are equally perfecting. In one of the teachings, we look at a proverb that says, when I hear, I forget. When I see, I remember. When I do, I begin to understand. Begin to do what you have learned. As you begin to do it, you will begin to grow up in your salvation, grow up in ministry, because nobody was born knowing. It is we learn as we do, as we practice. Practice makes perfect. So the house church is a place for effective ministry, and the house church is equally a place to release ministers. We receive ministry and render ministry within the house churches. We equally release people to go out and begin to render ministry. We are there in order to enlarge, expand the kingdom of God. Let your house church become the center where workers are produced. But let them not just be produced and they become passive. Let them launch out to minister within the house church. In other words, minister to those who are within, because charity begins at home, and set out to touch the lives of their neighbors, and set out by their life to touch people in that town, and spread, and it will not be long before a whole region has been taken for God by just these three people who started meeting in a home and who resembled the Lord, and other people came in and started imitating them. And as a result of that, very soon, a whole nation is taken for the Lord. The house church, a place to produce ministers, a house church, a place for effective ministry, and a house church, a place to release ministers to go and touch the lives of others. May God bless you.